99.1 FM Talk.
99.1. The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
To back, John Potter, live and local. It's 10:06. Let's check our current temperature because we're in for it, folks. We're in for it. We're talking triple digits later on this week. This is a local show. Our current temperature in Reno is 76 degrees in the studio. Sean Vassar and his wife, Sydney. Sean's book is about his incredible life from California to Grenada to life in prison. The true story of full circle redemption. It's the true story of a lifelong transformation from troubled teen to soldier to lifer in prison and then released back into the world that, of course, is no longer the 1970s. Where to begin? And your book, What a Life. Oh, my God. 483 pages. Sean, well, you had a lot of time to write it, right?
Yes.
That's like lifer humor.
Yeah, we had our own lingo and everything.
You're making me nervous now. So, wow. Okay, so how long were you in prison? Tell us the basic story of your life. I know it's impossible to condense, but troubled teen. Okay, got that. Start with being a soldier. And then how you got to be a lifer in prison?
Well, we left California in 1981, came up here. I graduated Douglas my last year and enlisted in the Army. I went through basic training in Fort Leonard Wood, then I went on to Fort Benning, Georgia. I was a paratrooper. Then I was stationed at Fort Bragg in the 27th Airborne, which is the last sapper unit in the U.S. Army. Unfortunately, I was kicked out for bringing three AK-47s back from Grenada, and I was discharged. Came back to, I was living in Jacks Valley, came back to live with my parents, picked up a nasty alcohol and drug habit because of that, because I was going to life it in the Army. I was going to do my 20 years to my country and retire. None of that worked out. I ended up hooking up with a girl I knew from high school, and we robbed a couple banks.
In Nevada?
Yes. First one at Incline Village, and the second one was right next to the state capitol.
What was that like, robbing banks?
Well, coming from the military, jumping out of planes, it was the adrenaline rush that I was wanting. But also it was a lot to do how I was influenced as a young teen in California City, going to the only movie theater, watching movies like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and I became fascinated, almost infatuated with bank robbers, the outlaws, you know, that type of scenario.
Yeah.
And I just started living that scenario.
How many banks did you rob?
Two. We got caught on the second one.
Okay. It's really, is this true? It's almost impossible to rob a bank now, cameras and facial ID.
I would never try it. I mean, I still can't believe I did it to begin with. But yeah. Nowadays, yeah, it'd be almost impossible.
Well, you always hear about a bank robbery, but they usually catch them in the parking lot. That just seems to be the scene.
Well, I turned myself in, so.
I'm thinking movie script here. Have you sent this book to Hollywood?
No, but Sydney wants to send it to Mel Gibson.
Are you serious, Sydney?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Well, she got a hold of you, so she'll do it.
Yeah, the press tour has begun. You also do tours of the prison. Now, this is the old state prison in, yes, Carson City. This is where you were held. Oh, and you're also the caretaker there. Why would you go back?
Well, I've had
it's
a
horrifying place. Listen, I did a story when I was at Channel 2 about the old prison. I was shocked at how extremely small those cells are. It's like the size of a closet and very intimidating, huge monster brick around you. And you can't take more than 1 minute of being in those cells. You want to get out. It was horrifying to me. So what was my question? Oh, yeah. Why did you go back to prison?
It was a birthday tour. I had Sydney had been asking me for years to go, and I kept saying, no, I'm not never going back there. And then one day, whether it was God telling me, this is the direction I want you to go now, and I just said, okay. And we went on the tour, and on the way out, I met the president of the Nevada State Preservation Society, Nevada State Prison, and he hooked me up with Glenn Horton, who was a warden and later became a reformer director of the entire prison system. And he got a hold of me and said, I need your perspective, because right now within the society, we have no one that ever did time. We have ex-COs who work there and warden stuff like that, but we've never had anybody come through that has your kind of history and connection to the prison. And he did the first oral history was, I did it with him, you know, for the records. And then it's still hard to believe. Then he said, well, I want you to start leading tours. And I said, okay.
How can people get a tour with you as a tour guide?
You would have to request me.
Okay.
Because we have
Sean Vassar, folks.
We have over a dozen tour guides, and maybe even more than that. And it's on a volunteer basis. Whoever volunteers for a certain weekend, like I'm doing one on August 29th, my birthday. So if you want a tour by the best person giving a tour on his birthday, August 29th.
So, oh my God. Okay, so drugs, alcohol, robbing banks, what turned you around?
Coming back to God, I was born again, thanks to my wife here.
Sydney, okay.
Yes, and everything has changed. I mean, literally everything in my life changed. I was just working 7 days
a week. Did it happen, like, instantly to you? Or?
Yes.
Wow.
I was baptized in her daughter's backyard right after my granddaughter. We were both saved the same day, Sierra. And from then on, we started going. We're both in the congregation of High Sierra with Pastor Rich Lammy.
Yeah.
And everything just started falling into order.
Now, why did you write this massive book? What was the main reason for writing it?
To keep teens like I was, there is a juvenile hall on Fifth Street, a mile from Nevada State Prison, just literally down the road. That was the first juvie I ever went in when I got to Nevada. So I went from that juvenile hall to the state prison. I want to keep kids that are in juvies from ever ending up in a place like Nevada State Prison, because they're hell holes. You know, they are violent, they are vicious, they break people down, they turn.
In Nevada, you mean locally?
Yes, in Carson City.
Well, that's terrible to hear that. How much Nevada is in this book? You know, I just opened it, and there's a Las Vegas story near the end.
I would say probably three quarters of it is Nevada. I only spend the first chapter or so talking about my upbringing in California. I was born and raised in California and then moved to Nevada in 81. I consider myself a Nevadan over a Californian.
Sydney, we're going to talk to you. You were a school teacher. And you are glad she got out of that. I want to hear why. Once again, folks, this is Sean Vassar. I didn't give the name of the book yet. You got to explain the title here, Nap of the Mammal. Sean, what does that mean?
One day in the boiler room at High Desert, one of my workmates, I came in.
Prison?
Yes.
Where's High Desert?
High Desert is outside of Vegas.
Okay.
There's two prisons right above each other, right off in 95.
Okay.
And I came into work one day, and he was in the chair, bent over sleeping, drooling. I said, well, there's a mammal taking a nap. And that's where the title came from.
Okay. You've been in movies.
Yes.
Because the old state prison in Carson City has been the location, the scene of many movies. I just saw one. The Mustang.
Yes, they show. We have a movie night too. Last year we showed An Innocent Man that I was an extra in with Tom Selleck, and they show the Mustang, and we're probably going to show the same two again, plus maybe another one this year.
Oh, you look like right out of Yellowstone. I mean, no, doesn't he? I mean, you have the what do you call that around your neck?
That's a bolo tie.
Bolo tie. With the state of Nevada Western shirt, mustache. Oh my gosh. Anyway, we're going to get it back to you, and we're going to talk to you, Sydney, about schools nowadays, okay? Our listeners are going to love that, okay?
Yeah.
All right. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1016.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Truth. Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. I'm with Sean Vassar and his wife, Sydney. Sean was a lifer. You know, it started with you, it says here, being a troubled teen. Troubled teen. How did the troubled part start, Sean?
When I was nine, my mom, we were doing multiplication tables in the backyard, and out of blue, she just said, "You were adopted." And from that moment on, I felt like I needed the extra attention because I didn't feel a part of the family, so I started lying, stealing, and everything just escalated to me, ended up in prison.
Sydney, you were a school teacher, and we were talking about that during the break, and you seemed to have a a dim opinion of schools and the way they operate now. What is the issue? What are schools really like today, and did that have something to do with you leaving the teaching profession? And be blunt and honest.
I am blunt.
Yes.
Well, I always wanted to be a teacher since I was 10 years old. And so it was the 70s when I graduated from college, and there weren't any jobs. So I did all kinds of things. I worked at Disneyland and all these, my dad had a golf shop, and I did all these things. And finally, I got a job in Apple Valley, and it was just a dream come true. They were fabulous for that small of a town, with Roy Rogers and Dell Evans lived there. And then we moved up here to Nevada, and there were no jobs, so I substituted. I did everything I could do, but I finally landed in Carson City. It was a wonderful experience. I loved to teach reading. That was my thing to do, so I was kindergarten, first grade, teaching kids to read. And then in 2000, Common Core came along, and they started telling us things like, you can't teach kindergartners how to tell time or money. You can't teach them about money. And I went, wait a minute, but you need to teach them their math facts when they're just learning about number sense. So that was the first part, and then things started kind of going. I had my own reading program going on. It was just wonderful. Parents were just thrilled. The kids loved school. We had so much fun. And then they started a new reading program, which was inappropriate.
In what way?
Well, it just focused on testing. And
well,
as
a kid, that's not fun. Kids will learn if they like it, you know. But if it's constant this and that, Common Core, which is generally looked upon as a failure, are they still doing this Common Core? Yeah.
I asked the superintendent in Douglas County, and he said they're still doing it, and they're doing well. And I went, oh, no. What I saw was just testing, and an example of it is a mother came in with her daughter.
Yeah.
And I said, you can go play and, you know, with the blocks or whatever, or write or work on slate. And the little girl sat down and said, Mrs. Hannon, I need you to come over here so I can test you. And that's when I told the parents, that's it.
Okay.
That's not what school's all about.
Right.
It's about learning to get along with other kids, but also loving to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were doing, and they just changed it around. And they had people coming around checking things off. You know, if you want somebody to learn something, you tell them what you want them to learn, not afterwards.
Well, and I don't like the restrictions of how to teach kids how to tell time. I mean, that is so nitpicky, and doesn't really, it's not a natural flow. You teach kids through conversation how to tell time, this and that, but is that how bad it got, or did it get worse?
Yeah, it got worse. We had
you
people
got worse.
That came along that were doing this reading program, and they told us, you know, Well, one day they came in, and I had two sessions of school, so, you know, morning and afternoon, 50 kids.
Yeah.
And they came knocking on my door, and of course it was locked back then because of Sandy Hook.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to come in. I said, well, we're not doing this reading program right now, because it was Mardi Gras, and we were making masks. And then afterwards, I got reprimanded for doing that. And I thought, that's kind of weird, because that's part of the curriculum is holidays and celebrations and things like that, and art. And it just went downhill, and my mother passed away.
Okay.
And then I thought, this is God telling me it's time.
So how did they even know you were telling kids this? Did some parent report you?
Telling what?
Well, telling kids about holidays and
stuff. No, that was the curriculum. That was still in the curriculum.
Okay.
But this program that you had to do was just 5 minutes of this, 10 minutes of that. I mean, it was really rigid.
Yeah.
And it wasn't fun anymore.
Sean, if you just joined us, folks, thank you, Sydney. That's eye-opening. Napa, the Mammal, the book. Sean is about his incredible life, starting with being a troubled teen, to robbing banks in Nevada and being in prison for how long, Sean?
21 years, 5 months, and 17 days. I don't know the hours.
Now, you wrote this book, 483 pages longhand?
Yes.
Yep,
in about 5 or 6 different notebooks of various sizes and colors.
And it's, it's not a criticism. I have bad eyes, and it's small type, but if it were large type, this book would be massive. And you wrote it down handwriting.
Yes.
How did you convert it from handwriting to text?
Well, I had to learn how to use the computer properly because I didn't know anything about computers. I'm kind of a dinosaur. I really don't want anything to do with computers and AI, but I realized the only way to get it on Amazon to sell it was to do that. So I learned how to operate a computer. I learned how to do all the formatting and everything in 2 weeks, and I got it done.
And that's where it's available. Amazon has a book publishing department. I thought they just sold books that are in bookstores, but no.
They started. That's what Amazon started off as, was a bookstore. That's all they did was sell other people's books.
Okay, so folks, you can go to Amazon and type in Nap of the Mammal or the author, Sean Vassar. And you also sell it at the prison?
Yes, we have a museum and a gift shop in the prison, and I've been giving them copies of it since I wrote it there. I started writing it there in 1993. Took 33 years to finish it, but you can go into the museum at the gift shop and you can purchase it there. Half of it goes to the society for renovations, and the other half goes to me.
You're also a full-time caretaker of the Old State Prison in Carson City. What duties do you have there?
Mostly weeding. We have a lot of weeds on the yard. It is nonstop. So I do a lot of weeding. We do any type of maintenance work to keep the place looking good for the tours, because it's 162 years old now. So it's falling apart.
Yeah, closed in 1989. You were also held at the Ely prison.
Yes, when it first opened.
What's your take on how the prisons are now?
They're gladiator schools. High desert. Ely is no longer the maximum security. They had too many killings, so now high desert, where they can control them and they're closer to Las Vegas and larger hospitals. High desert is now the new high security max. But the gangs took over the prison system probably in the 90s, and it's all gang run.
What?
Yes.
Which prison is the worst?
I would probably say High Desert.
By Vegas?
Yes.
Holy moly. What about the Lovelock prison? You have much experience with
Never went there. That was for PCs only. That's where OJ ended up.
OJ, yeah. That's right. This is also fascinating to me. You are a full-time caretaker, and you are also a prison tour guide, and it's all volunteer. You don't get paid for this or anything.
Not one penny. I just do it out of...
Why?
Because these types of sites need to be preserved. They need to... People that have never even heard of NSP need to understand why those places were there.
One more question. You're the new prison chief. what would you do?
I would take away TVs, radios, and go back to hard time, because going to prison nowadays is just like a bed move across town. You mm-hmm. still have all your comforts, all your luxuries. You know, you may not be able to turn the light on and off when you want, go in and out of your cell, but people in prison are so comfortable now. They get out and they think more of going back to where everything is regimented and you have that built-in security of comfort. Prisons aren't what they used to be.
Do they have internet?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Through education. Oh, yeah. They have cell phones now in some prisons.
Oh, my God. Really?
You know, that's how far it has gotten.
Where's the punishment?
There is no punishment anymore. It's warehousing.
This is, folks, this is Sean Vassar. The book says your name is S.C. Vassar.
Sean Charles.
Okay, so people could search S.C., initials, Vassar.
Yes.
And the name of the book is Nap of the Mammal, His Life Story. I so appreciate you coming down. This is eye-opening. And Sydney, you too. Thank you for the service you put into the school system and the prison system, which I hear both is just no good, you know. All right. Well, anyway, have yourself a great weekend.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Have fun. All right. I do appreciate you coming out here.
You're welcome.
I mean, like you being the volunteer at the prison and you're being a volunteer to testify about taking the right path
yes.
to our youth. All right, guys. Thank you so much. I'm John Potter, live and local. It's time for Fox News, then local news with Greg Defton. Then it's just you and me. And we'll take calls, 884-9910 or text 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1030.
The talk starts here. Get the conversation going. Call now.
Hello?
99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
FM News Talk time, it is 1036. Let's check current temperature. It is not 80 yet. Feels like it, right? 77 degrees, our current temperature. Expect the triple digits sometime this week, and that will be the first time we hit the triple digits this year. My last guest, Sean Vassar, who wrote the book, he recommends that you Google, because he holds events at the prison. And there are writers series. They do presentations along with, you know, Sean does the tours, too, at the old Carson City State Prison. Just Google Nevada State Prison Preservation Society. And from there, check out the writer series, which he invited me to. And that should be fascinating. But you folks, check out the old prison. And it's full of stories, you know, full of stories. Tomorrow is Flag Day. Carson City is hosting primary Flag Day celebrations Sunday, tomorrow. The day traditionally observes the adoption of the American flag on June 14th, 1777, by the Second Continental Congress. President Truman signed the observance into law in 1949. And on Sunday, our Carson City Fire Department and Emergency Response Team will host a ceremony tomorrow at 1 p.m. at the Fire Academy in front of Station 52 to retire worn flags. It's a Flag Day ceremony. The national anthem will be by Rick Hayes. I remember Rick Hayes in the American Steel. Yeah, what a great guy. Anyway, Rick Hayes will do the national anthem. There's going to be taps and a patriotic medley by vocal group Bumps in the Road. And then tomorrow at 5 is the dedication ceremony at the Sea Hill. You don't have to hike up there. It's going to be at the front of the trailhead at 1331 McKay Drive with parking at the nearby Mormon Church. And Congressman Amaday is going to be emceeing this. You're all welcome. The trailhead to Sea Hill on Mackey Drive, and that will be at 5 o'clock tomorrow. The Sea Hill Foundation is celebrating the return of the Sea Hill flag after 2 years of restoring and replacing the big flag panels. All right, as long as I'm talking about flags, and I don't want to bring you down, but this is relevant, and getting the word out to me alerts you and others and I believe helps protect and preserve its importance, the flag, to our nation. While we honor the U.S. flag for Flag Day tomorrow, all over California, there have been LGBTQMLNOPQRSTUV flags raised on government flagpoles in honor of Pride Month, which is also this month. How many Pride Months are there? Anyway, there have been gay flag raising ceremonies this month in Hayward, California, City Hall, San Francisco, in Washington State, right over the state capitol. They raised the ceremony to raise the rainbow flag, and that was in Olympia, Washington. They did it in Austin, Texas, and also Nevada City, California. I remember when the Pride flag flew with the U.S. flag over Reno City Hall. Remember that, folks? A lot of people don't remember. Well, you know what? Channel 2 would not put it on the newscast. But 15 or so years ago, they wouldn't put it on the news. Like I say, it's what they don't report and what they don't tell you. But anyway, in 2020, a Reno teacher made the news when she hung the LGBTQ, I'm not going to go through it all, flag in her seventh grade classroom and refused to take it down and even posted it on TikTok near my hometown, Webster, New York. This month, they approved and raised the Pride flag on the town hall flagpole, and it flew above the United States flag. The Webster, New York Town Hall took down the American flag and raised to the top of the government building here, raised to the top of the flagstaff a rainbow flag. And the American flag flew well below it in such a level that if the wind wasn't blowing it, it might well have touched the ground. So you have the trans flag or pride flag, whatever we call it now, at the very top of the pole, the American flag at the bottom, and the U.S. flag was flying so low it just about touched the ground. Some people objected, thankfully, and a policeman noticed it and wrote up a violation. So there is some sanity there. And then a few days later, the town relented and brought the rainbow flag down while a crowd booed the town workers who were taking it off. And when the town supervisor was asked if there was a plan to get the rainbow flag back up, he said, that is unknown. And didn't say no. I'm glad that we have Governor Lombardo here, because the Sunday before last, New York Governor Kathy Hochul sent out to all state facilities, parks, and buildings across New York State that commencing on June 1st and through the month of June, they have to fly the Pride flag over the state's various buildings, parks, facilities, from every state facility for the entire month by order of Governor Hochul. Must we genuflect? Must we fall down and worship every kind of little woke thing that comes down the pike? Now, okay, it's a freedom of speech issue, and we're all free to say whatever stupid thing we want. And I'm probably about to demonstrate that. But here's the only pride flag that I represent. It's got three basic colors, red, white, and blue. It has an arrangement of stripes in the upper left-hand corner, and there's this arrangement of stars against white stars against the blue background. That's the American pride flag. That's the only flag that ought to fly from a government flagstaff. No disrespect to all the other types of people who were in that the alphabet soup thing, but it's about time. If we want to survive as a society, we have to stop playing this game of my group versus your group and recognize that there are so many more things that bind us together than tear us apart. We in this country have always been the most diverse and varied society already on the planet for centuries. Other countries, if you weren't one of the home team, you got killed or enslaved or genocided. I don't know if that's a word, but that's just how it was, because in America, we brought in people from every corner of the earth under a legal system with a belief that you are supposed to acculturate, that you're supposed to become American, and those things which cause you to leave whatever hellhole your people used to call home, you leave them there, and then you come over there and you start living a new way, a better way. We had immigration, not colonization. You come here and join us, the melting pot metaphor, where you we all bring who we are, and then we all become one together. That is what got us through some 200 years of mass immigration and made us, with the blessings of God and the hard work of our forebearers, the greatest nation ever to grace the face of the earth, because we were one. That's how we do it. And yet, with all these months, with all these flags, with all these groups, with all the clubs teaching kids in school this, that, and the other, with all this division based on the color of our skin or the way we pray or who we're attracted to or where our people are from, all these excuses where they teach us that we are part of an oppressed minority, that we are victimized, that we have cause for resentment against everybody else in society, then against the mainstream of the society, we've been turned into this group of aggrieved subgroups. Our whole country is aggrieved subgroups. That's the reality of the work we live in today. And there ought to be just one flag ever flying on a government flagpole, and that's the flag of the United States of America. That is everybody's flag. I should not have to walk underneath a government flagpole with the flags of a political cause that does not represent me this month, like I guess I don't belong. But the flag of the United States of America is every single one of us, and if you believe that flag doesn't represent you, then you need to get your head straight about being in this country. If I'm an American, you're an American, that means we're fellows citizens, and being American means that we're all created equal and that we all should have equal standing before the law. We're equal, just like with God, just before God, before the government. We're all equal. You're no better than anybody else. You're no worse than anybody else. And in this country, we're brothers and sisters under God, and we are fellow citizens under our country, and we are in a live and let live country. Live your life just like I'll live my life, okay? But not insist that you bow before it, and not insist that somehow be represented atop a flagpole by any banner other than the flag of the United States, which theoretically, I'm going to wrap this up, okay, which theoretically is the flag of all Americans, whatever, whoever you sleep with, however you pray, whatever color you are, wherever your people are from, live your life. God bless everybody, right? You are cool. I got your back. We're all pals, but stop trying to convert people. Stop reading the damn books to the little kids in the libraries, and stop using the schools as a recruitment venue. And like we just heard from Sean's wife, and we don't need to fly your lifestyle on a flag on a flagpole, period. Okay, end of story. Fine. It's Flag Day tomorrow. That's why that's why I brought it up, okay? All right. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1048.
Live, local, FM Talk, KKFT, for Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
Hello. Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Appreciate you tuning in on this Saturday, each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. I'm John Potter. 78 degrees, our current temperature in Reno. Folks, coming up in 2.5 weeks, I don't know if you heard about this. I hate being the bearer of bad news. I really do. But nobody is talking about this, has not really been on the TV news like it should be. But coming up in 2.5 weeks, the Washoe County gas tax goes up. It's not high enough, folks. It's an automatic thing. Yes, I know we voted for it, but I've said this before and I'll stand by this. The voters really did not really know what was in that RTC ballot question. In perpetuity, this gas tax goes up. So come July 1st, a couple of weeks from now, that's 2.5 weeks, that gas tax is going to go up again. A former Washoe school board member from 2021 to 2025, Jeff Church, wrote this on Nextdoor. He wrote, that 57 cents per gallon tax goes up almost 5 cents July 1st, making it over 61 plus cents. Add other Washoe state and federal gas tax, and that is $1.13 per gallon here, making us the highest gas tax anywhere in the USA. And with apps, you know, the Gas Buddy, people on like I-80 know to buy in Fernley, and many of us buy in Carson, Yarrington. That means Washoe gets zero revenue from that. And by the way, with all that money, are you happy? Because this is why the RTC pushed the gas tax. We got to fix our roads. Are you happy with the condition of our roads? You would not believe the condition of the street that I live in. Anyway, how do the other 15 counties get by with the lower tax? I'd like to know. And they have pretty good roads, at least equal to us. How do they get by with it? So the RTC Washoe people, they say the big gas tax pays for large regional road projects in addition to maintenance. It also pays for bus transit. EVs get a free ride on the benefits of the RTC gas tax. Too disgusted to comment. Another topic brought up on Nextdoor, which, by the way, is so good for show prep. For lazy talk show hosts. Honestly, really, I slept 3 hours. Cat got me up at 4 a.m. and I went to Nextdoor and bam, there's my show right there. Anyway, this post on Nextdoor reads, good job, Washoe County Sheriff's Department, for ticketing vehicles with no plates and insurance and towing them away. Keep up the good work. Yes, doing a good job. Keep it up. Please don't stop, as this problem is epidemic. And you have to include, okay, if you're going to do that, you have to include all the Audis out of California with the expired plates, too. And if the vehicle isn't registered, then that person is not paying their fair share, and thus the burden falls on others. My agent told me my rates went up due to the number of lawsuits, uninsured and underinsured drivers that we have in the state of Nevada. If everybody were to pay for their insurance and stop suing each other, you know, maybe our insurance won't be so incredibly high. Actually, the post in Nextdoor that got the biggest reaction was, what can we do to get gas blowers banned in Reno? You know, those leaf blowers. I guess there are California cities, or maybe the state bans these gas blowers. I'm torn. You know, it's another chip away at freedoms, of course, if you ban the gas leaf blowers. But, oh, my God, those should have gone electric first. I don't have time now. And now that I think about it, you know, now we're talking, I'm all over the place. Okay, RTC, gas tax sucks. It's going up in 2.5 weeks. Now, the EV people, they don't pay that gas tax, obviously, and they put most of the wear and tear on our roads. This is damn unfair. But anyway, it just reminded me, talking about electric vehicles, about 10 days ago, I almost got run over by an electric bus about 10 days. I didn't hear a sound. A big, huge bus that makes no sound at all. And don't know if I realize it, But did you know, I don't know if you realize, I just found this out, we have electric school buses in town, here in town, a couple of buses. I think one's at Wooster. A year or two ago, the Washoe County School District received $870,000 from NV Energy. Actually, they should say in the article that the money is really from us, right? Don't you get, doesn't that kill you when they say, oh, it's the bus they were bought from a grant from NV Energy or from a grant from the Washoe County blah, blah, blah government thing. They should say it's from us. That's our, that we paid for that. That's the money NV Energy got from us, and that's the government got from us in taxes. I don't know what I'm talking about now, but I think I want to get on this electric bus thing just because I almost got smushed 10 days ago. Okay, we got a break for Fox News. I'm John Potter, live and local. Thank goodness, just 1 hour left of this nutcase on the radio. Okay, I'll be back shortly. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. It's a beautiful Saturday. FM News Talk time, 10:58.